What's up, Club Wolfden people? This is chapter 46, Joseph, pages 270 from 274. Again, this is Joseph, somewhere on the Atlantic Ocean, 1939, 22 days from home. Okay, let's get started here. Joseph watched his sister splashing around happily in the swimming pool on A deck. Other kids chased each other around the deck and watched movies, played shuffleboard. For as much as he wanted to grow up, Joseph wished that he could join them, be a little kid again, cheerfully oblivious to what was going on around him. But he wasn't a kid anymore. He had responsibilities, like keeping his sister and mother safe. Papa had told him what the concentration camps were like, and he couldn't let that happen to Ruthie and his mother. Are you ready? He stood in the shadow of the smokestack, looking around nervously. Joseph nodded. He had agreed to help take over the ship. He had to do something, and this was the only thing he could do. What about Sheenick and his firemen? Joseph asked as they walked. We've got a distraction for them on D-deck, but we have to move fast. The rest of their group came together near the social hall. There were 10 men, including Joseph. All of them carried metal candlesticks and pieces of pipe. Some were Papa's age, like Ponzer, and other of them were in their 20s. Joseph, by far, was the youngest. 10 men, Joseph thought. Am I in? 10 Jews come together, not to worship, but to unity. Ponzer put a small length of lead pipe in Joseph's hand, and suddenly the weight of what Joseph was about to do was very real. Lead on, Ponzer said. Joseph took a deep breath. There was no turning back. He had led his fellow people into the maze of corridors just outside the brig in the chart room. All the maps were stored. They came across Oimster, the first officer. He looked up from the map cabinet, surprised, but before he could do anything, Ponzer had one of the other men grabbing and pushing him through the door of the brig. Joseph was startled by how rough they were being with Oimster. But he tried to swallow his own fear. Taking over the ship wasn't going to be easy, and this was only the start. There weren't many people on the brig, and as there had been when Joseph visited, just one officer and 3 sailors. The sailor at the ship's helm saw them first, and he let go of the steering wheel for a dive alarm. One of the passengers got to him first, slamming the helmsman and sending him tumbling on the floor. The mutineers quickly surrounded the other sailors, threatening them with their makeshift clubs. And they had done it. Just like that, they had taken the brig. Joseph's heart raced as they looked around, wondering what was next. Stretched out before them was a great big blue Atlantic Ocean, and beyond that, still the days away from Germany and the Nazis. Up on a little platform at the back of the room, the steering wheel tattered back and forth, and Joseph wondered crazily if he should jump up there and turn the ship around himself. "Send for the captain," Ponzer told the first officer. Warily, Oimster went out to the ship's intercom and summoned the captain, Schroeder, to the brig. As soon as the captain Schroeder stepped out onto the brig, he understood what was happening. He spun to leave, but Joseph had and one of the other men blocked his exit. "Who's in charge here?" Captain Schroeder asked. "What do you mean by all this?" Ponzer stepped forward. "We mean to save our lives by taking over this ship," he said, "and sailing into another country but Germany." Captain Schroeder put his hands behind his back and walked into the middle of the brig. He looked out at the ocean, not Ponzer. "The other passengers will not support you and my crew overpowering you," he said matter-of-factly. All you're doing is laying yourselves open to charge of privacy." Ponzer and the others looked around at each other nervously. Joseph couldn't believe they were so easily losing their resolve. "We'll hold you as hostages, Joseph said. "They have to do as we say." Even Joseph was surprised he'd spoken, but his words seemed to put a little more steel in the multi-years resolve. Captain Schroeder turned to look at Joseph. "The crew will only obey me," he said calmly, "and I will give no order, no matter what you do, that will make this ship get off course. And without that order, you can do nothing. What will you do, pilot the ship yourself?" Joseph blushed and stared around, remembering his huge, crazy urge to take the wheel when he hadn't even known how it worked or where to go. Captain Schroeder helped his fallen helmsman back to his feet and led him to the steering wheel. The man was still shaking from the attack, but he took the helm and straightened the ship on course. "You have done enough already for me to prefer serious charges against you," Captain Schroeder said, still frustratingly even kneeled. If I do, I can assure you that you will mostly be certain be taken back to Germany, and you know what that means." Joseph steamed. He did know what that meant, but did Captain Schroeder know? Did he really know how many Germans really understood what was happening in the concentration camps? Joseph knew because his papa had told him, had shown him, when he jumped overboard and tried to kill himself. Joseph wasn't about to let his mother and sister end up in one of those camps. "Would you do that to us?" one of the men asked the captain. "You're doing it to yourself," Schroeder said. "Listen, I understand and sympathize with you, with your desperation," Panzer huffed. "You have no idea what any of us have been through," Captain Schroeder nodded. "No, you're right. But no matter what has been done to you, what you are doing now is a real criminal act. By law, I should have thrown you into the brig, but I'm willing to overlook as if all of you leave the brig right now, and I'm going to give me your word I will take no such further action." Joseph scanned the faces of the conspirators and saw only panic, fear. "Surrender." "No," Joseph told them. "No," he told Captain Schroeder. "My father told me what happened to him in those camps. I cannot let that happen to my mother and little sister. We cannot go back to Germany." The first officer took that moment to pull free from the men holding him. There was a struggle, and the other sailors moved to help him, and the other multimillionaires bunched ready to fight. "Ostermeyer, no," Captain Schroeder commanded. "Cease and desist. That's an order." The first officer froze, and Panzer froze too, the lead pipe in his hands still raised in threat. Nobody moved. The captain raised his hands. "I promise you, men," he said quietly, in an almost whisper voice, "I promise you. On my honor as sea captain, that I will do everything possible to land in England. I will run the ship around there if I must. You must stand down and promise me no further trouble." Panzer lowered the pipe. "Agreed," he said. No, Joseph wanted to argue, but everyone else agreed. Joseph threw the pipe to the ground and left without the other men. They were going back to Europe, and there was nothing he can do about it. That was Joseph. That was pages 253 through 258. And that was chapter 46. So I hope everyone in the Wolf Club Den have a wonderful day or evening or morning. I don't know when you're listening to this, but have a wonderful day, and goodbye, everyone.